and welcome to the Grace Hour, coming to you live from Baltimore. This is our online media outreach, coming to you from Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. So we'd love for you to stick around with us here for this hour of talking about the theme, The Battles Belong to the Lord. And you're watching us on Facebook Live, or you're watching us at YouTube Live, or also listening and watching at gracehour.org, or on the live stream that's on the GGWO, Greater Grace World Outreach website. So we're thankful that you're with us. We do have a couple of phone numbers if you'd like to call in and share your thoughts with us that way. 1-800-338-7060 is a toll-free number you can use. Also, we have this number, 410-483-3700. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me today, Pastor John Love, fresh off a ski trip. Right? Is that what you were? That's where you were. Okay. So he's been in the upper reaches of New York State with a group of youth, and he's going to share a message here. We're talking about the battles belong to the Lord, because obviously this is a big topic on the world stage. What's happening in Europe, given the invasion by Russian forces into the country of Ukraine. And as we noted, we have ministries that are related to us at Greater Grace in Ukraine and in Russia, and we're praying that the Lord would move to settle that dispute and also bring a measure of peace and safety to everyone involved. And we just think about how the Lord is covering these things with His hand and His angels. And so we'd love to hear your thoughts on what Pastor Love is about to share, and just so we can talk about what's going on in the world and how to really process it in grace. So the Grace Hour continues. Here is a online outreach from our base here in Maryland. And so thank you. Welcome to this new phase of our ministry. And with the message for today is Pastor Love.
Thank you, Pastor Steve, and of course, always great to be with our Grace Hour friends and family as they tune in to our new format around the globe. Great to have you with us online and the many different platforms where you can now hear the Grace Hour broadcast live. And of course, if you can't listen to it live, you can listen to it when you have the opportunity. It'll be archived so that you can catch up with our broadcasts according to your particular schedule. But what a great theme. The battles belong to the Lord. And, you know, someone has well said that when you step into the kingdom of God, you're not stepping into a playground, you're stepping into a battleground. And we know, we understand, according to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but ours is a spiritual battle. Spiritual warfare is a reality that every believer must at some point confront and accept. And I think all of us that are part of this ongoing spiritual warfare realize is that we have not necessarily been drafted into this battle. We've enlisted by God's grace. Yeah, the grace of God brings us to a place where we want to put on the whole armor of God, recognizing that the nature of this warfare is spiritual. But the great comfort is, of course, the theme that we're highlighting this week in the Grace Hour, which is these battles really belong to God. But what a privilege it is to be able to be on the right side of the battle, if you will. Much in the same way, it's always wise to be on the right side of history when you look at the battles and the wars that have taken place and have shaped the world that we now live in. It's always great to be able to think that you or the nation that you're a part of were on the right side of history. Well, we're on the right side of God's history, and we are, again, we've been enlisted by the grace of God. And a couple of illustrations on this subject and on this theme, because I think it's very important that we all understand that, yes, we are engaged in spiritual warfare, but we are not blindly sent into the battle by God with the hope that you and I will achieve the victory that he hopes for. It just doesn't work that way, friends. Again, we are enlisted. We are in, if you will, the army of God. But yet at the same time, we realize our responsibility, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments, is, well, we show up, we're present, we're trusting, we're looking to him, we're believing, we keep moving forward, and then we see God fighting our battles for us. A classic illustration of this, of course, is found in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel were delivered by the hand of God from their bondage in Egypt, and finally, after these many plagues, and then, of course, the death of the firstborn, and then, of course, the children of Israel celebrating the Passover, well, deliverance came. Deliverance came. And Moses now took up the mantle and began to lead the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt and toward the wilderness. And of course, and this is so, I think we can all identify with this. It's so very typical, isn't it? Once we begin to take those steps of faith, perhaps our hearts are filled with courage. Perhaps we are completely confident in those initial steps that God has caused us to take. And then what do we experience? Opposition. Perhaps in one form or another, perhaps in the form of persecution. But the fact of the matter is, we read about this. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, and he said, listen, anyone that is of God, that is born of God, anyone who wishes to live a life of godliness will suffer opposition, will suffer persecution. And I think that right from the outset, friends, it's so imperative that we understand that opposition will come. Persecution will happen. But remember these two things about persecution. Number one, persecution is inevitable. It will come. We are promised that. But it's also incidental. It's not that big a deal. It's part and parcel of our calling. It will happen. God promises that it will happen. In much the same way Jesus said, listen, if they hated me, they will hate you. If they reject me, they might very well reject you. So if they persecuted me, they will probably persecute you. So we should expect it. Again, I don't want to suggest that the whole totality of your Christian experience is going to be persecution. But when it does come, let's not be overcome by it. Let's not be overwhelmed by it. Let's have in our hearts this understanding that it's inevitable. It's going to come. Whether or not it is happening in our lives today is not the issue. The issue is that God promised it, and when God promises something, it usually comes to pass. So we can count on it. We can expect it. But again, it's incidental in the sense that it's not going to cause us to back off or to back up or to shut up. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep trusting God. So back to the story of Moses having been delivered and the children of Israel now coming out of their bondage in Egypt, they make their way into the desert. And of course, we're not surprised that Pharaoh begins to, he begins to think about the decisions that he's made. And he starts to think, well, we've lost all of that labor. We've lost our entire labor force. And now how will we build Egypt the way we intended to? We need to pursue them. We need to go after them. So the children of Israel are making their way through the desert. And of course, we're not surprised at this. God leads them in such a way that they're confronted by the Red Sea. And to the left of them, there is a mountain range, impassable. And to the right of them, another mountain range. The only way for the children of Israel to escape from Pharaoh's hard-charging army is to go forward. And yet they find themselves confronted by the Red Sea. And now Pharaoh's army in hot pursuit. And listen to what happened. I'll read it to you from Exodus, the 14th chapter. In verse 8, we read that the Lord, God was involved in this. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and saw the Egyptians marching after them. They were sore afraid. Children of Israel cried out unto Moses, and they said unto Moses, now listen to these words of faith. Moses, what was it? Because there were no graves in Egypt? You've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you thus dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? I don't know what it is, friends, about the desert has a way of evaporating not just water, but your faith. Sometimes that happens even in our own lives. They went on to say in verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians? How is it possible that they have so quickly forgotten the lash of the taskmaster's whip? How is it that their understanding of what they endured while being enslaved in Egypt has now just escaped their minds? They even went on to say that it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now Moses speaks and said unto the people, do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall see them no more forever. And verse 14 says this, the Lord shall fight for you. Your responsibility is to hold your peace. In other words, Moses said, this battle belongs to God. That simple. And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward. What great advice that came from the real commander in chief, the Lord himself. Even when confronted with no way of escape. And sometimes we even sing that song that says that, you know, where there isn't a way, God makes a way. That's what he was just about to do for his people. And of course, in that process, God said to them, I'm going to fight for you. And we need this principle buried deep in the confines of our souls. We need to remember this principle because there will be times when we're confronted with no way out, no way of escape, hemmed in on every side. No way out, but there's always a way up. Recognizing that the battle is not ours, but that the battle is the Lord's. And of course, we know the rest of the story. We know that God opened up the Red Sea. We know that God delivered his people. And of course he did, because this battle was not between Moses and Pharaoh, or the children of Israel and the Egyptians. This battle was between God and the one whom Pharaoh represented, which was the God of this world, who wants God's people to remain in their bondage. You know, the God of this world does not want you and I to be thinking about freedom, liberty, joy, peace, grace, the purpose of God. He wants us to be caught up in the mindset of bondage. He wants us to be thinking about our past, not moving ahead into a glorious future that he's prepared for us. The battle really does belong to God. But sometimes we take that battle upon ourselves. We assume responsibility for the battle when we have no right to assume such responsibility. You know, oftentimes in my life, when I've reached a place like the children of Israel, cornered, hemmed in on every side, wondering what to do, fearful about what the next step might be or should be. You know what I'm reminded of? That God was the one that's brought me to the place where I'm at this moment. He was the one who summoned me by faith initially. It was God seeking me. I was not seeking God. Remember, Jesus said that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I cannot look back on my life and say, listen, I remember when I was looking for God and finally found him. No, God was the one pursuing me. God was the one seeking after me. God was the one who found me because I was the one that was lost. So I find myself in predicaments in life, and I often say to the Lord, Lord, this is your business. You called me into this faith. You brought me into your kingdom. And if you brought me in and I'm now in an impossible situation or an impassable situation, or if I'm hemmed in on every side, if my soul is in distress, I'm reminded that this battle belongs to God. Another beautiful illustration that we read of in the scriptures is found in 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, under the leadership of Jehoshaphat, who was again king in Israel at that time, we read in verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. This was an alliance that came against God's people Israel. Several nations combining their forces and descending upon God's people. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea, on this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Hazatornapar and En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Now notice that these are things that you and I can do when we find ourselves in the midst of the battle. We can set ourselves to seek the Lord. We can pray. In some instances, we can even fast and pray. And then we read that Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat stood before the Lord, the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the courts of God, and he began to speak. And I'm going to continue this and move down later in this chapter. In verse 16, and God said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they will come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel, and you will not need to fight in this battle. Now, wait a minute. It's pretty clear based upon how this 20th chapter in 2 Chronicles begins. It sounds like a battle. It sounds like war. It sounds like these nations have become allies and have set themselves against the people of Israel. And what does God mean when he says you will not need to fight in this battle? It is a battle. Once again, what did he say? Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. The Lord will be with you. And once again, we have this illustration of God assuming the responsibility for the battles that come against his people. Friends, we are not suggesting by this theme that we'll highlight throughout this week in the Grace Hour that there will not be battles. On the contrary, in fact, if anything, we would like to highlight the fact that there will be battles, but all of those battles belong to God. And remember, God's promise is that he's going to fight for us in the midst of those battles. Do we have any responsibility in the midst of these battles, in the midst of this warfare? The answer is yes. Take all that God has provided for you and apply it. Again, all of the elements of the whole armor of God, put them on. Yes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, all of it. But then we wait upon God. We trust God, and he always shows up at the right moment of our lives. And when we realize, you know, I'm no match for the enemy in this warfare, God says, I understand that. Your responsibility, as he told the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14, you keep moving forward. You keep taking those steps of faith. You keep believing me. And even in the midst of your unbelief that's sometimes mingled together with belief, just keep moving forward. Because again, God has ordained only one direction for his people, and that direction is forward. We have no plans to go backward. We have no plans to return over those bridges that by faith we have burned. We only have one direction as God's children to move ahead in, and that is to go forward with the promise that when these battles come, and we didn't say if they come, we said when they come, God stands ready to fight for us. Because again, these battles do not belong to us. They belong to God. It would be like you and I going out into the parking lot, leaving the store, the grocery store, or whatever, maybe leaving church, and, you know, trying to get into an automobile that doesn't belong to us. You know, it might look like your car. You might even mistake it for your car, but your key will not open someone else's car. And sometimes the people may come along and they might look at you and say, "What are you doing there? I'm getting in my car." That's not your car. That car belongs to me. And immediately you would recognize that truth and say, "Oh, I apologize. I'm sorry. Looks just like mine." And then you would find yours. Well, in much the same way, when we are confronted with life's battles, and I'm talking about spiritual warfare, let's remember all those battles are God's. And he assumes the responsibility to fight for us in every single one of them. So again, be encouraged. You say, "What can I do?" Well, God might just say, "Stand still." God might just say, "Have you armored up?" "Yes, Lord, I've armored up." That's all you need to do. The battle belongs to me. And when you know that, you're going to be able to say the words of the Apostle Paul, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Father, we ask you to bless these thoughts today, this devotional portion of our broadcast, and continue to bless our program now. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
This is the Grace Hour, coming to you live from our studio here in Baltimore. And I hope you enjoyed that message from Pastor Love. Battles belong to the Lord. Expect persecution. It's a guarantee. It's one of those guarantees that God promises us, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall face persecution. And how do we face those things? With an understanding that our battles really do belong to the Lord. So we've opened up the phone lines here for our online outreach. 1-800-338-7060 is a toll-free number if you're in North America somewhere watching, listening. You can use that number, dial it up. If you're in Baltimore or around the world somewhere, 410-483-3700 is the number to call us with. And you could share your thoughts on what Pastor Love talked about there. Of course, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, you're there. You can post your comments there as you see fit, and we'll read them as they pertain to our subject for this week. The battles belong to the Lord. We're just thinking about, you know, there's a lot of talk about battle. That's all we got to understand. And we're getting a lot of analysis and all that about what's happening in Europe these days. And we just feel that we want to, you know, guide you through the thought processes of what God says about these things. And I love that story. That story is really the amazing one in 2 Chronicles 20. It's remarkable that the front line of the army in that story was the choir. So choirs are kind of interesting. I'm not sure so many churches have them. We have one here. And the recruitment process may be a little bit more difficult if you told a choir that you may be sent to the front lines of battle and asked to go before the archers and the artillery people and anything else. You're going out singing a song, Praise Ye the Lord, for His mercy endures forever and ever. That's interesting. But the battle belonged to the Lord because the enemy got all turned around and started into killing themselves.
Unbelievable. I mean, can you imagine, you know, Jehoshaphat hears from God and then he consults with his people and he appoints singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of His holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, His mercy endures. I mean, that is just incredible. Imagine that choir. Hey, this is how we're going to do it. That armies, that those allied forces are out there waiting for you. Mm. They're thirsty for blood. So what we're going to do is we're going to send the band, we're going to send the choir out. I can just imagine some of their responses. Really? Couldn't we go after the armed forces go out? But God knows exactly what He's doing. And sometimes I think the principle there is praise comes before victory.
Could be. I mean, I think there's this psalm that is kind of an interesting psalm, Psalm 137. It talks about being in captivity. This is the captivity of the people of Israel. And they are sitting down, they are weeping, and they've hung their harps on the willows. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. We remembered Zion. There we hung up our harps in the willows, for our captors had asked us for songs and our tormentors for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. That's, you know, there you see a situation where you're being tormented, and what is the answer for that? And could you sing a song? Could you sing a song in that kind of situation? I was thinking about this, you know, when the Last Supper ended in Matthew 26, and I think in Mark 13 or 14, maybe 14 or 15, it says that they sung a hymn, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives and Gethsemane. And so it seems like madness and music go together.
Yes, we read in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas are in prison for their faith. And at midnight, which
they
is
sing.
You know, that is the darkest hour. They start to sing praises to God. And then what happens? The deliverance comes, not just for them, but for everybody.
That's true. Yeah, that's an amazing story, too. This one is in 2 Chronicles 20, The Jehoshaphat story, that's a great one. And then that one, Paul and Silas. And, you know, and could it be that that's like really a secret? Like, put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. It's like, okay, I don't really feel like singing. In Psalm 137, the question is, how can we sing the Lord's song on a foreign soil? And then the other thing is like, well, how can you not sing? That might be the answer. How can you not sing? Maybe it's a sad song, Jeremiah's collection of sad songs. He sang sad songs in Lamentations. And we know all through the book of Psalms, we get these sad songs. We get sad songs. What other kind of songs we get? We get angry songs. There's a couple of songs to, you know, when you're in a rage, you're cursing your enemies. And then there's songs when you're, when you've fallen in sin. Psalm 51 is a song. It's like David singing to the Lord, I've sinned against you and you only. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, you know, those kind of things. But singing in the battle is like, that is a, I guess it's something that we should cultivate or something that we should teach ourselves to do, maybe.
I think so. I think praise paves the way for victory and deliverance in our lives. And that's an important principle. And I think sometimes we could easily say to ourselves, how can I praise God? You know, I'm in financial distress. How can I praise God? My car just broke down. How can I praise God? My children have turned their back on the faith that we raised them in. I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different sets of circumstances where we could say, praise just doesn't seem to be the right thing to do at this time. But clearly in the scriptures, you could make a case for the fact that rather than waiting for that to happen, we should actually start there, you know? And I love the fact that, you know, I know the children of Israel, when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, then we read about Miriam's song
of
praise, you know?
Yeah.
The horse and the rider have fallen into the sea. How great is our God? I mean, yeah. But maybe what we should do is write that song of victory even before the victory has happened. That kind of faith, I think, would greatly please God.
Well, yeah. When I was talking, when I meant that, when they went out to the Mount of Olives, they sang a hymn. They were singing a hymn. We know that on the cross, Jesus was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's another song from the Psalms. It's, you know, so I can't sing a happy song. Okay, sing a sad song. I think that's you're in a battle, sing a sad song. You feel like God's forgotten you. You could sing about it, it seems like, you know. I mean, country music is built on people singing about the people who left them high and dry.
That's right.
Holding the door at the altar or whatever. Left me, I'm gone.
It's true.
Those kind of things, right? Yeah. I don't mean to pick on country music. I love country music. What's the big deal? But I mean, it's like that's the thing.
It's so good we could all do this, Pastor Steve. Our listeners could do it too. Just look back, reflect back on your past. And now some people would say, no, we shouldn't be, you know, Paul said this one thing, I do forget the things that are behind. He's talking about, you know, failure. He's talking about those things which are covered under the blood, our sin, our failure, our mistakes. That should be forgotten and not resurrected in our minds. But there's a right time to reflect and to look back. And if we did that, you know what we would say? Every time I was confronted in a battle, God came through.
That's true.
We would never say, I was abandoned, I was left by God, he forsook me, and the results were devastating. No, we don't say that. Our testimony is always very, very consistent. God came through. I didn't know how he was going to do it. I even wondered if he was going to do it. And even we could even confess and say, I didn't believe he could do it. But he came through because he is a faithful God. And he showed up every time I was faced with a battle that was greater than my capacity to deal with it. God showed up, assumed the responsibility for that battle, and carried me through.
Yes, awesome. This is the Grace Hour. You might have noticed that we didn't break for a transition. We just roll through the hour right now. I want to thank you for being a part of our audience here online at Facebook Live or YouTube Live, maybe at gracehour.org you are. Or maybe you're watching the stream at ggwo.org, wherever you are. It's great to be with you today. We could still take your calls. As we said, 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number to use. 410-483-3700 is another number that you can use. We'd like to hear from you. David up in Maine is saying, I'm there with you. That's good. Fine work from God through you all. Yes, and Carol is saying, yes, he is the God of the battles. He teaches our hands to war. That's a great thing. Break a bow of bronze, I think David says, that God can make my arm so strong that I could break a bow of bronze. So I can't imagine how strong a bronze or brass bow might be. I've never heard of that, actually. Might be kind of an interesting element to see. I've seen wooden bows because they have like a pliability, but a bow of bronze, maybe he was just elevating the strength factor there. I don't know.
Amen. Tony Sewell says, and I wonder how he knew this. He said, thanks for the great message.
I think they posted Malta.
Matthew chapter 24 from the Malta service. Appreciate that, Tony. I was going to say I didn't see you there. You know, Pastor Steve, here's a thought. We hope that even though we're in our new format, please remember, friends, you can still join us. Those phone lines are open, so take advantage of that and join us. But also, Pastor Steve, we would like to hear the comments of our listeners in response to this question. If we changed the time of the Grace Hour broadcast, is that beneficial to you as a listener? In other words, if we went back to our morning hour, let's say, and this is just, for example, 10 o'clock to 11 a.m. each and every morning Eastern time here in the United States, is that a better time for you to listen to the Grace Hour? Would it be more convenient for you to tune in and to listen live at that time, or does the 1 p.m. time slot suit you better? Would it be good to hear from our listeners what their thoughts are, because we are in the process of making possible changes, but not without consulting our listeners.
Yeah, we have a new era. The radio days are over. Our radio days are over, and we're online this way. We also have a number of podcast sites. We'll get that list up for you, and we'll read it off for you. But we are on Spotify, just to name one. I believe Apple Music too. There they are. Platforms: Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeart Radio, Audible, Stitcher. Yeah, Stitcher. That one was invented by Adam. Adam and Eve stitching together fig leaves in the forest after the fall. So Stitcher. No, maybe you don't want to use Stitcher. I'm sorry, Stitcher. I'm sure it's a very fine product. Okay. You can find us all these platforms, and you can subscribe to those platforms, and they'll send you a little push, and it will tell you to tune in or listen to the latest post. So, you know, Grace Hour going this way will be available to you 24/7. We'll be live at some point during the day. Yeah. And we'd like to hear from you, our online friends. Just let us know when's the best time for us to schedule this daily live expression of this. You know, we got a lot going on here at Greater Grace. If you go to ggwo.org, you know that there's several live feeds daily. Pastor Schaller does a morning devotional, and also our lunch wrap, the lunch devotional, lunch wrap that is held every day in our cafe here on campus. That is streamed for you. Some evening classes are streamed at Facebook and other places for you to watch from Maryland Bible College and Seminary. And also, we stream our services. We stream our services from 9, 11, and 6:30 on Sunday, and also the Wednesday service that is at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So you have a chance here to help us with our decision, you know, on what time we will be live. But on all of these platforms that we just mentioned, and at gracehour.org and Facebook and YouTube, you will be able to find the broadcast, the program, you know, in its entirety there for you to listen to at any time. So you can download it to your smart device and listen to it while you exercise or do gardening or whatever you want to do. Right? Yeah. We want to be a part of your life, however it is. You know.
Well, one of our callers has weighed in on Facebook Live saying, well, you know, noontime is better because that's the lunch hour, but that would put us in conflict with our lunch wraps that we have online. So we don't want to do that. We want the Grace Hour to remain separate from those other services that are provided for our listeners and people that are connected to our ministry online. So 12 probably is not going to work, but we want to hear what your thoughts are. Please weigh in, share with us. Would you like to hear the Grace Hour in the morning, or is it, you know, better suited for you to hear it at the current hour that we broadcast, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time? And, you know, you mentioned about all of those different platforms: Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Stitcher. One of the strangest things that's ever happened to me was this weekend in Malta. During one of the services, one of the teenagers in one of the front rows, he was doing something that I have never witnessed before in all the years of ministry. And he was sewing while he was listening to the message. He was sewing, knitting. He was knitting.
Knitting.
With the needles. And I even had to comment about it because I've had young people fall asleep on me during the message. I've had them distracted on their phones. I've had them, you know, talking to each other, all of that and more. But I have never had a young man, a teenager, knitting during a message. It was remarkable. I didn't have a problem with it, but it was just something I had never witnessed before.
Wow. Oh, my wife crochets, you know. I mean, my grandmother crocheted all of her all of her life. And I still have a couple of afghans in the house that my grandmother crocheted and my wife's crochets every now and then. But knitting, wow, that's kind of, that's two needles, right? Knit one, purl two.
That's
knit
right.
Knit one, purl two.
That's right.
I don't know what that means, knit one, purl two. I maybe it's the shape of the loop that you're making there. That
well, this might young be man, he was
he was going at it,
at
huh?
it.
Wow.
And he seemed to, you know, he was paying attention. He was listening intently. So It wasn't distracting him from listening to the message. But I thought, it's pretty unusual. I've never seen that before.
Well, one of my sons, Paul, you know Paul, he works in the youth ministry with you. He's ordained now, pastor. He used to, sketch, when he was younger. We have notebooks of him, taking notes, and then there's, drawings, Draw a picture of Pastor Stevens while he's preaching. Picture you, probably. He's probably, found a few, kids leave your house and they leave behind some things. There's a couple of notebooks with some artistry that was done back in his days of high school and junior high school, middle school, I guess they call it now. We used to call it junior high. Whatever. But knitting, I've never... knitting. Okay. That's kind of interesting. Well, great. That's awesome. Maybe the person there can show us what they've knit. You could send us a, put it up on Facebook or send us a message that shows us what you, when you get the finished product, we'd like to see it.
Right. The message wasn't that long, so I didn't get to see the end result, but we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, maybe they knit like a Grace Hour, official Grace Hour caps with the new Grace Hour logo here. I mean, it's a different color there. So watch this, but that's the logo there.
That's nice. Hey, Carol Ann says there are several ladies that knit during the preaching here in Kuopio, Finland. She says, I think it's a little distracting. Well, it was for me at first, Carol Ann. I have to admit it, I it was so shocking to me. I'd never seen anybody do that before. But I didn't let it bother me, and I hope that you won't let their knitting bother you either. Just, again, you want to just kind of focus on the message rather than, because I think as they continue to knit, you're thinking, like you said, Pastor Steve, I wonder what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then at one point I asked myself, I wonder if it's for me.
There you go. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
But wouldn't it be great to hear from some of our listeners today, this being the first day that we are not broadcasting on any radio station? It would be great if you joined us live in the Grace Hour at 800-338-7060 and 410-483-3700.
And from north of the Mason-Dixon line, barely north of the Mason-Dixon line, we have Pastor Duke calling in from Pennsylvania. Pastor Duke?
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Steve. What an amazing theme this week. Hey, I was wanting to say that in 2 Kings chapter 7, we probably have read this story many times about the lepers who were basically waiting to die, and then they went into the city of the Syrian city there and found out that God had destroyed the enemy and all they had to do was take the plunder. But this interesting verse in verse 9, in the Amplified it says, then they said, this is the lepers, then they said one to another, we are not doing right. This is a day of glad good news and we are silent and do not speak up. And this portion of this verse really just hit me in the last few days and relating it, this day, like you mentioned, I think last week, Pastor Love, the message in of the gospel that Jesus even read, quoting Isaiah 61, he quoted the part about, this is a time of deliverance, setting the captives free. And so many of God's people, because of what's happening, they've been locked down as far as their message from their mouth goes. And it's still the good news of God's grace, and we're still in the church age, and we may be going home soon, but hey, let's keep a busy about our Father's business, and let's keep speaking about this good news. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's a good thought there. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Duke. Going to Baltimore here. Here's our friend from Baltimore and the islands, Oretta. Oretta, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pastor Love and Pastor Steve. Pastor Love, as you were preaching the message, this hymn came to my heart. It's Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching Us to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward Christian soldiers marching us to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before every one of us. We're in a battle because the enemy hates God's children. And all of us, some people may not know it, but we have a seat. All who are born again, we're walking on this earth, living on this earth right now, our life, we have a seal. And Satan hates us, and he knows them that are God's children. Remember in the New Testament, when he tell, I think it was Paul the Apostle, he said, Paul, I know, but who are you? Satan knows us. His eyes are fixed on us, and we are God's soldiers marching us to war. I'm praying for Ukraine, and I sang with them last night on YouTube. They have this program on YouTube. I saw it last night with Ukraine. People were singing in the airport Christian hymns as people was going back and forth. I love the nation, and I'm praying for them that God will protect them and beat back the forces of the enemy. We are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and it's a non-stop battle we are in for our souls, for man's souls, and we have to keep praying for one another. You all have a blessed day, and you'll hear from me further along in the week. I love you all.
Thank you, Oretta, calling from Baltimore. Yes, our phone lines have filled up here. Let's take Mary from Dundalk here on the Grace Hour. Grace Hour Online. Mary, go ahead.
Okay. A while back, I heard that the Word of God ain't going to be able to be heard or seen no more. Does that mean, like, you're all being took off of the radio and stuff, and there's more on there and stuff, and I don't know what's going on?
Well, let's just, this was a business decision. We just want to be very, very clear. This was not a spiritual decision by the business people at what's called Brighter Media, the owners of Shine FM and WRBS, Positive Talk 1230 AM. Basically they're more into a nationwide syndication system, and they bring shows that they don't have to produce themselves. And we were the only local show really on the radio. So it was sort of a business decision on their part to let our contract lapse. So, we're just trusting God that he's leading us into a new era. The radio, AM radio, I don't know about you, but not too many people listen to it anymore, unless it's a really big station or they're listening to baseball games or football games, not so much football. But
you're right that one day people won't be able to hear the word or see the word of God.
Well, I think that's right, Pastor Love. I think that's I'm sure that's what the devil would like to do.
That could happen. But I think now, Mary, whether it's radio or television, we still have the airwaves saturated with preaching and teaching. And I mean, I know that at home we can turn on the, I don't know what Christian station it is, but we can hear the Billy Graham messages archived from many, many decades. And so we still have access to a lot of it. And while we have it, let's take full advantage of it.
Yep. And I think,
thought maybe even the Word of God, the paper of the Word of God would even be off of the earth, because like the Russians are trying to, like they took the Bible out of other schools and stuff like that,
Well, they did do that. That's true. During the communist eras, they took the, that's true. But we see that the Word of God will find a way. And I think if you read in the book of Revelation, we see on several occasions that there is a group of missionaries that go out speaking the word. We see two witnesses that speak the word. We even see that God sends angels flying through the sky to speak the word in the most desperate situations there. So will God's voice be silenced? No. Psalm 119, you can meditate on that. God's Holy Spirit is uncontainable, and he will bring a witness somehow, some way to all parts of the earth. Remember this promise from Luke 3, verse 6, all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. So you just got to believe that. So I think it's 3-6 or 6-3, one or the other. All right. Thank you.
Wait a minute. Is ministering angels, is that people?
Oh, and well, and I'm just saying that the word of God, God will find some way to get his word out. I mean, in Revelation, there are a couple of situations where angels fly through the sky giving warning to give glory to God. So I'm just saying God will somehow bring his message, Mary. Thank you, Mary.
Have a good one.
You too. All right. We have a couple of callers. We're going to go to David. David calling from Columbia. Is this Columbia, Maryland?
Yes.
All right, David, go ahead.
Well, I understand the way God doesn't make any mistakes, but I want to let you guys know that I miss you guys and think about you guys and pass the love. I'd like to sign a C sometime, even if COVID gets a lot better and it's workable. And God bless y'all.
Thank you, David. We miss you. We haven't seen you for many, many months, and we'll make that happen. God bless you.
Thanks so much, Pastor Love.
That's right. Awesome.
Thanks for the call, Dave.
Yeah, David. You've known David since the days of Avalon, right?
When I was a Bible college student. David was... Yes, he was a student at the Avalon School in Western Massachusetts, and he's originally from this area.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's great. Here's Pastor Steve calling from Baltimore. Pastor Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for being on. I don't care what the medium is, as long as you don't change the message, that's fine.
Amen. The message will not change.
I don't care what time you do it either. Just keep doing it.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Anyways, yeah, we're praying for the people in Ukraine, and I think their courage is coming from the gospel. I think in general, it seems like it's a very, very God conscious country at this point in time. Strangely enough, I'm sure Pastor Chris is amazed at, you know, but I think sometimes we do work in places we don't realize the ripple effect of what we do and how we're all, you know, what happens in an area, you know, and, you know, we might have three churches, but, boy, it doesn't, you know, I know we've had a bigger effect. But anyways, I was thinking about that where you were saying that they put the choir on the front line. But anyways, I was thinking about that and thinking, you know, hey, if you want to get on the front line, it's like, It has to do with just your attitude and trust in God. You know, it's like because song and music and is supposed to help you with your attitude and your faith. I mean, in Colossians it says to have a song in your heart, make a melody, you know, with the word of God and keep it in your heart. And song does that. It can do that. And it's like, you don't even have to be a good singer if you have a melody in your heart and a song to God, you know, you'll end up on the front line. Because that's really the battle, like Loretta was saying, that was a good word, like the Christian soldiers are on the, you know, it's all about the heart attitude. You know, when faith is communicated to people, then things happen.
Yeah, Pastor Steve, we were actually speaking about that up in upstate New York this past weekend, and we had a great time with the church, Pastor David Moore, Pastor Scott Ettman, talking about the importance of showing up on time for church so that you can worship God and participate in the singing and the worship of God, because that really does prepare your heart for what God wants to say. And we spent some time talking about that and the importance of it, the value of it, and I think that portion that you brought out serves to illustrate how important it is before God when it comes to actually engaging in the enemy in spiritual warfare.
Yes, sir. Well, glad I got on the new format.
Good to have you with us.
Yeah,
good to have
thank you.
Thank you.
Keep going. Whatever it is, God will direct, I believe.
Amen. Yep.
So here we go. See it.
Yep. It's amazing. Just a couple minutes left, Pastor Love. We've made it through the first program of the new era. And, yeah, like we said, we'd love to hear from you. You know, send us your comments, online comments, so we can figure out the best time frame for everybody concerned. And, again, we just want to remind you that gracehour.org is a website that has a complete archive of every message that we've been able to broadcast. It's a great thing. And again, those platforms for the podcast, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher, all of those things will have an ability for you to subscribe. And Facebook Live, those things, once we go off the air, you can call those things back up and see us and listen to it all over again. So we'll continue to present the message of grace. As Pastor Steve said, let's not change the message. Let's not change the message, Pastor Love. Can we agree to do that?
Amen. Oh, no question about it. I mean, lots of changes regarding radio and broadcasting and the times and the loop platforms. But as far as the message is concerned, I like to believe that they will always hear the finished work message, the gospel of the grace of God, a message that has power to draw people to Christ and helps us to be sustained in our faith, endure in our faith, no matter what the circumstances are that are happening in the world or in our lives personally, that we'll keep hearing something and receiving something. It'll be that certain sound that will continue to not only uphold us, but direct us, lead us, guide us, strengthen us, and get us through what the Bible suggests are some pretty challenging days that lie ahead.
Yeah, we want to be a part of your world. We want to be a part of your world to help encourage you and to provide background background sound for Hannah, who says she knits and sews and crochets. Hey, you can pray croquet while you listen to the Grace Hour, too. Just set up a little thing there, listening to the Grace Hour, and then that's great. We're glad that helps you with that. But again, all around the world, we are listened to, and we want to be a part of that. Thanks to those listening in London, in India, across the world, in Azerbaijan. We just pray again for all those in Ukraine and Russia. We just pray for protection, safety, health, comfort, and joy. Thank you, friends, for listening to the Grace Hour online with Pastor Love. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Sebastian has been our engineer today. Have a great afternoon.